This is the Family Honor Podcast, a series that explores topics relating to family life, virtue, theology of the body, chastity, and God's gift of human sexuality.
Okay, we are here today with Vincent Weaver, who is one of our Family Honor presenters, a longtime Family Honor presenter, who also is a blogger with National Catholic Register, who has spoken at quite a number of pro-family conferences around the country, and who, maybe most importantly, is a dad, a husband, a father of five girls. So we welcome Vincent Weaver today. Hey, Vincent.
Hi there, Brenda. Thank you for having me today.
Well, you are welcome. I want to cover a number of things today with you. But first of all, it might be good for our listeners to know a little bit more about you and how you and your wife got involved with Family Honor and why you got involved with Family Honor.
Well, it was a long and winding road, but it started with a blurb in our church bulletin, literally two lines. And my wife showed it to me and she said, they're asking if we think we're being called to be chastity educators. And I looked at her, not even knowing what that meant. But we had just adopted a little girl from China, and we were soon to find out that we were pregnant with our second daughter, and not having any clue what we were going to do and talking about such subjects relating to virtue and sexual morality and all that, I knew that I needed to do something. So we ran with that and started learning more about what Family Honor had to offer.
And you have done a lot of programs for Family Honor over the years, not just in South Carolina, but in other states. And I think you and your wife virtually can do all four of the programs that Family Honor offers, which is wonderful. As a result of doing all these programs, you have seen and heard a fair amount of feedback from parents in these family-centered chastity programs that we do that, of course, bring the parent and the teen or the parent and the preteen together to talk about chastity and virtue and Christ-like love and family communication, lots of good things. What would you say are some of the most memorable comments that you hear back from parents in particular over the years that you've been doing the programs? And is there any particular theme that emerges as far as just kind of the most common comments in addition to some of the most memorable comments?
Yeah, there definitely is a theme. And we talk a lot about empowering parents. And that's really the theme of my favorite comments that we repeatedly get. Probably my favorite of all was quite a few years ago in Atlanta, a dad came up and said to us after the Real Love and Real Life program, you guys did all the heavy lifting. Now I can take it from here. So he truly felt empowered, possibly for the first time, that he could actually engage in these conversations and do so competently and with confidence. And there was a mom along the way, actually quite a few moms have made a comment similar to this. You opened the door for conversations between my teen and me that I didn't even know needed to be opened. So that theme of empowering, wow, this is a whole new conversation. This is a whole new discussion. And I can actually do this. That is just so encouraging. And you see these wide eyes on the parents, just they're excited to get to the business of parenting and doing it intentionally. And we get to be a part of that. So it's truly a privilege.
How has Family Honor impacted your life? Have you seen a change in yourself since you started working with Family Honor?
Definitely. Without going into too much detail, my wife and I both had a reversion experience to the Catholic faith, to the faith of our childhood. And us getting involved with Family Honor was very providential because this was the vehicle that helped us understand the why behind the church's teachings on some of the trickiest issues in our society. And I need to know that why. That's just the kind of the way my brain works. That's the way I function. I needed to intellectually understand why the church taught what it did. And Family Honor gave me the motivation and the resources to research these topics and ultimately realize what the church was teaching was timeless. And it also was totally in line with genuine science as well. So it showed me that faith and reason dovetailed very nicely together. It was not only empowering to us, but encouraging to us to know that there were other families going through the same kind of challenges with their teens, with their kids, and we weren't in this alone. And the fact that we got involved in this when our kids were very young, now that we have five daughters, started out with one and quickly went to two as we jumped into the family honor wagon. But this has been a language that we've learned, and our kids have been speaking this language from day one, and they're what I would call fluent in it now. They are confident as teens and young adults now to go out and spread that good news to others. And I'm proud of that, but I'm also humbled by that because I knew that that was just an outright gift that God showed us the way to family honor.
You know, I love what you just said, that your daughters feel confident now in using the language of family honor, which is really the language of the church, the language of theology of the body, beautiful language. But they have Christ's truth as part of their being in the ability to go out and talk about these things. And I would imagine that other people their age sense the confidence that your daughters have.
In fact, they often go to them for some of those questions that they may be a little hesitant to talk to their parents or others about. And of course, my kids always say, you really ought to talk to your parents about this. My kids have questions, don't get me wrong, but they're not confused about the basics. And,
right.
And I love that. And when you have that grounding of not being confused, it really opens the door to a deep understanding.
Especially in today's culture, it's good not to be confused. We had mentioned earlier in the introduction that you are also a blogger at National Catholic Register. You've written on some what might be called some controversial topics. So why dive into that? And why add one more thing to your plate? Because I know you're a busy guy.
Well, I guess there's a couple of parts to that. Number one, I have found writing to be kind of cathartic. It's a creative outlet I didn't realize I had until I was well into my 40s. And so I'm grateful to have stumbled across that. But I've also been drawn, and I'm realizing more and more that part of my vocation specifically is to wade into those controversial topics, those challenging topics that people often shy away from. And combining those two and my curiosity and my enthusiasm for all the things I've learned during those years working with Family Honor and just understanding the church's teachings better, it seemed like a natural outlet. You know, working with National Catholic Register, some of the comments that are made, you can tell you're striking a chord, sometimes a sore spot, and people, it sounds like they may be considering what the church is actually teaching, potentially for the first time, hopefully providing them a perspective they have not heard before. I love that God has brought me into that because it's just something I feel to be a natural extension of how I communicate.
Let's talk about the book that you wrote, and it's called God, Sex, Money, and Time. Get these four right and all else falls into place. And once again, I have to ask, what inspired you to write a book? That's a pretty big commitment.
Well, a lot of this has to do with that reversion experience I mentioned, but Family Honor, the work with Family Honor dovetailed right into that. And plus with my work as a business instructor at a local college, these are topics that started to come together in my mind, but really the catalyst for this particular concept was from listening to Dr. Janet Smith's Contraception, Why Not? Cassette tape. That's how long ago it was, many years ago, and listening to it again and again. And that was a watershed moment for my wife and myself in our faith journey. And toward the end, she makes mention that if you get God, sex, and money in the proper perspective and the proper understanding, everything else will work out. So somewhere around 2008, this idea of tying together God, sex, money, and time, which are the four topics I've been spending the last 20 years working through and coming to understand better, that idea was planted in my head. I think I was actually golfing at the time. And I'm like, I don't think there's ever been a book written on these four topics. And I don't think even three of them put together. But ultimately, it was time that was the glue that demonstrates the proper balance of the other three. That's why I added that in, a little bit of an extension of Dr. Janet Smith's comments. And that the original inspiration stayed with me for about 10 years. And the fact that it did not leave my mind that entire time, I finally sat down at my computer and started typing. And around Christmas of 2019, I just started one page after another, and it turned out to be very cathartic, especially since, unbeknownst to me, we were just about to head into our cloud of COVID at that point. So that was a great outlet.
As you did research for the book, was there anything on any of the topics that surprised you?
Yeah, I think so. The research for the book I found even more fun than the writing itself because there were a number of eye-opening and sometimes jaw-dropping moments. There are many I could discuss, but I'll bring up two or three here. The longest section of the book, by the way, is sex. Most of that has to do with the family honor influence. But when I started talking about issues related to same-sex attraction and transgender and all of that, the whole LGBT spectrum, I started to understand the history of that alliance better, only to find how little those letters actually have in common, that this is a very odd alliance, actually. And I suspect that you're going to see a fracturing of that alliance in the coming years that may have already started, particularly where the T relates to the L and the G. A couple other things, even though I'd already started to do some research into Margaret Sanger and Alfred Kinsey and their influence over modern day sex education, as well as birth control, getting deeper into both of their stories and their background was very eye-opening and rather unnerving, because there's a very dark history, especially with Alfred Kinsey. And in Margaret Sanger's case, it was really a matter of very misguided passions. I ended up feeling a little bit of empathy for her, but she just went down such a destructive road for our society. It's hard to maintain that empathy much. A couple of other things relate to pornography. How do you put it when you say you research pornography? But anyway, I came to understand the pornography industry better, to find that it's a monopoly and it's dominated by one corporation. They have control of 8 of the top 10 porn sites out there. They truly have monopolistic powers over that entire industry. And normally that would be something you'd think politicians would be all over, because it's not the way we're supposed to be doing business in America. There is no such thing as open competition and all of that there. But because of the money that kind of comes in through the back door and the side hustles that a lot of otherwise legitimate industries like the hotel industry, how they make money off of this, and that ends up being funneled to politicians on both ends of the political spectrum, you start to see why the politicians won't do anything about it. And finally, if you don't mind me bringing one other thing up, this was a true surprise. I have a little section on Planned Parenthood in the book. And with all the talk a few years ago about federal funding for Planned Parenthood, when Donald Trump became president in early 2017, the funding for Planned Parenthood never went down at the federal level. It actually went up slightly during his time in office. And you could even say that Donald Trump was probably the best thing that ever happened to Planned Parenthood, because they would use his name to market to potential donors, and private donations to Planned Parenthood during that time have skyrocketed since then. That was an eye-opener. It kind of makes sense, but it's certainly counterintuitive initially when you hear something like that.
Was the book written for a particular audience?
I think parents and young adults primarily was my focus. But one of the things I realized too is that there are a lot of experts out there within the church and outside of the church that have a good understanding of any one of these subjects. But my whole purpose was to try to tie all that together and talk a good bit about what In God We Trust actually means in these other areas, in the area of sex, in the area of money, in the area of how we use our time. So trying to connect those dots for others who do know a lot about any one of those subjects was kind of the point, and also offer parents some hope and a good, healthy understanding that they could do this, and they could talk with their kids, and they could talk with coworkers and other family members, and be a light to our society. And I hope it spurs further research as well, because when you write on God, sex, money, and time, one priest I talked to early on when I was explaining this project I was undertaking, he said, "I assume this is going to be a 3 or 4 volume work," right? And yet the thing is under 300 pages. So yeah, I'm barely scratching the surface, but it's a readable end result for parents and others.
Are you planning on writing another book?
No, actually. And it's an interesting question, but this was something that weighed on me, not in a negative way, but it was just on my mind and on my heart for a long time. And what I found is that once I got to that finish line with this, even though, yes, I'm sure I could go back and make a lot of improvements and new versions of it and all of that, there was like something lifted from me as I finished that. And it was like, okay, this is what I was supposed to do. Really glad I did it. Don't know if I would ever do it again, but if God calls me to such, I would. And I will say also, I discovered, and a few writers that I know tried to explain this to me ahead of time, how different it is writing 700 word blog posts versus writing, you know, an 80,000 word book. Very different process. And I really gained a lot of respect for those who pump out books every year. Yeah, they have a skill set that is really admirable.
Would you give us the website or whatever information people might need to get a copy of God, Sex, Money, and Time, Get These Four Right, and All Else Falls Into Place?
Yes. So probably the easiest way for most people is just go do an internet search for The Book Patch. That is the publishing site that I use for this, The Book Patch. Just type that in. You'll get a link right up top there for thebookpatch.com. And when you go to their website, use the bookstore search function and type in my name, Vincent Weaver, or the specific URL to get to the ordering page for it. This is a little bit unusual, but it's fairly short. It's the http://thebp.site, thebp.site/, and that's S-I-T-E, by the way, /281789, 281789. Okay. So I hope that helps.
Very good. And once again, the name of the book is God, Sex, Money, and Time, Get These Four Right, and All Else Falls Into Place. I'd also like to remind folks that are listening, in addition to Vincent's book and his blog, Vincent also is a part of not only doing Family Honor, family-centered programs, but we have also developed some seminars that Vincent and myself and a couple of our other Family Honor folks deliver for adults. Typically, they're half-day seminars, and we also have a weekend course. And we talk about some of these topics that Vincent mentions in his book and that we've been talking about today. So I would just add that get the book, first of all, by all means, but also if you're interested in bringing a seminar, a Family Honor half-day seminar for adults or a full-blown weekend course to your parish, let us know. You can contact Family Honor at 803-929-0858 or go to our website, familyhonor.org. And we both feel the same way that our culture is, just filled with the walking wounded because so many have not heard the truth about God's gift of sexuality, the meaning and purpose of being created male and female in his image, and all the beauty that really surrounds church teaching and Christ teaching basically on this. So we just encourage you to get informed, find out the truth, proclaim this truth to your friends and neighbors, and perhaps most importantly, your children. Equip them so that they too can say, Mom and Dad, I feel confident about what you have told me and what you have taught me about these topics. So Vincent, thank you so much for being on this podcast today with us. I hope the information is helpful to a lot of the folks that are listening to this. And Vincent, just appreciate all that you are doing to promote Christ's truth. Thank you.
Thank you, Brenda. It was a joy to be a part of this. I appreciate the invitation.
You've been listening to the Family Honor Podcast. For more information, the website is familyhonor.org.